reading this morning is taken from Psalm 63. This can be found on page 579 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we pray that you would speak to us now through your word. We thank you that you are a God who speaks, and we pray you would open our ears to listen. Amen. I don't know how the last few weeks have been for you. Maybe lovely, relaxing holiday time. But in terms of the country, they haven't been easy, have they? In fact, they've reminded me of how many different pressures there are around us. Political pressures, Boris Johnson having to step down, and the campaign for the new leader of the Conservative Party. Who will be the new leader of the country? Can we believe them? Can we trust them? Will they care about ordinary people? Environmental pressures. We're reminded daily of the impact of climate change. We have to be careful because of the heat. We see how dry the grass is, how easily fires are starting. We're ready for rain. The land needs rain. Because of this, we're getting a little glimpse, more than we usually would, I think, of a dry and weary land where there is no water, like our psalmist talks about today. Economic pressure. All of us aware of the prices in the supermarkets going up and up, and along with that, energy prices continuing to rise. This is affecting everybody. Some families are really struggling just to feed their family, and that is only going to get worse. Academic pressure. With the exam results coming out next week, there'll be some of us here feeling the pressure of competing for grades, getting a place at university, getting a good job. Lots of pressure. It can sometimes feel a bit overwhelming, can't it? King David, who wrote this psalm, Psalm 63, he knew what it was like to live under pressure. He knew the pressures of leadership, the pressures of huge problems, the pressures of family breakdown. At the time he wrote this psalm, David's son Absalom had led a rebellion against him, and David and his followers had fled into the desert for their lives. They spent a bit of time in the northeastern part of the wilderness of Judah, which is kind of round about where the Golan Heights are. And it was in that barren land, fleeing for his life from his own son, feeling rejected and disgraced, and facing an uncertain future, that David wrote the words of Psalm 63. What can we learn from David about how facing pressures and how to respond to pressures? David's first response is to turn to God. He poured out his heart to God in the words of this song. What else would David do? He could have sat worrying and being anxious, letting everything go round and round in his head. He could have started beating himself up about what a terrible job he'd done in raising his son, who'd actually turned against him and was chasing him to kill him. He could have just sat and felt very sorry for himself. He'd been trying to serve God and rule the country well, and now look what had happened. He could have got together with his advisors and started working on plan A, or maybe plan B, or plan C. I'm sure that he felt a little bit of all of these things, but he knows that he's not by himself in all of this. And he needs to bring his thoughts and his feelings and his fears to God. As David turns towards God, we see his thirst for God, his glimpse of God, and his praise of God, who is his help. In verse 1, David uses the picture of his surroundings in the dry and barren desert to give us an image of how his soul feels as he longs to know God's presence. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This is real thirst. Maybe these last few weeks when we've had such hot weather, we've had more of an insight into what it feels like to be thirsty. But David isn't talking about England. Thirst in the desert, when David and his men would have had to wait and search until they could find water, would have been on a whole different level. Our bodies are made up of around 60% water. When people are truly thirsty, every molecule in their body is crying out for water. For David, the presence of God is as important to his soul as water is to his body. And so it says that David looks for water, is desperate for water, in that same way he looks for God, earnestly seeking after God. What do our souls thirst for, I wonder? Do we thirst for the life-giving water of God's presence? Or do we thirst for other things? Do we try and fill our thirst for God with our careers, travel, entertainment, sport, our achievements in life? These things are not bad in themselves, but they won't satisfy our thirst. Do we try and fill our thirst for God with social media, alcohol, binge watching of box sets? Or maybe we sometimes just try to avoid recognizing that we're thirsty at all by keeping ourselves busy all the time. Deep inside of us, there is a thirst for God because we were created to know God, to be in relationship with him. We can try to quench that thirst with other things, but that will not satisfy us. Our modern world may seem to be ruled by technology and secularism, but deep down, there is a longing for spiritual experience. Many years later, in Jesus' ministry, Jesus picks up on these themes. To the Samaritan woman, he says, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And at the Feast of the Tabernacles, he told the people, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Sometimes I think it takes us being in the desert place to recognize just how thirsty we are. I'm trying to decide whether to tell you this story or not. I've got a friend in Reading, and for him, the desert place was COVID and the whole pandemic and the whole lockdown. I've told some of you a little bit about him before, but maybe this can tell you a little bit more about the rest of the story. He was actually my Pilates teacher in Reading. And during lockdown, and I used to have chats with him. He wasn't a Christian at all, but I used to have chats with him about, don't work too hard. You need to make sure you take some time off. You should have Sabbath, you know, and things like that. He knew that I went to church, and he knew that I was training to be a vicar. And during lockdown, he called me from Reading. I'd moved to Newbury, and he said, "Jackie, what do you know about spiritual awakening?" And I said, "Actually, I know quite a lot about spiritual awakening. We could chat." So we chatted, and he had just so many questions. And the situation with COVID had just made him realize there's something massive missing from my life. I am not connected to God. I am not connected to anything spiritual. And I have this need inside of me. So I had lots of conversations with him, and he had conversations with other people, and he was working his way out. Was it just general spirituality he was looking for? But as he worked his way through, he found a church, he found out more about Jesus, and he decided, no, this is what I'm looking for. And he became a Christian. And a couple of months ago, we had the joy of going to his baptism and seeing him getting baptized as he decided he wanted to tell everybody about being a Christian now. But I was thinking that desert place of COVID is what led him to see that thirst inside of him for God. In this desert place, this difficult and pressured place, David looks back. In verse 2, he reminds himself, "I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." Thank you, Andrew. When David was in Jerusalem, he could enter the tabernacle, the sanctuary, where he would seek God's presence. Now, in the desert, in the broken place, he's reminded how he caught sight of God's power and glory. He reminds himself of how he's seen and experienced God at work in his life in the past. I'm just going to put my water down. So the Bible is full of remembering like this. Throughout the Old Testament, the people build markers to remember, not because we need monuments, but because we need to remember what God has done, how he's been at work. One example of this is when Joshua and the people of Israel crossed the Jordan River. There are also festivals and celebrations to remind the people of how God had been at work in their midst. These remind them of things like how God brought his people out of slavery in Egypt, how they lived in tents in the desert, and how God provides for them at harvest. We've got our festivals too. At Christmas, we remember the mind-blowing fact that in Jesus, God himself came to live amongst us and experience life as a human being. At Easter, we remember how Jesus loved us so much that he died for us so that we could be forgiven, and how he overcame the power of sin and death when he rose again from the dead. Communion is remembering. Do this in remembrance of me. When we're in the desert place and feeling far from God, it can help us to look back and remember. Remember when God first called you to himself and you experienced his love and forgiveness in your life. Remember a time when you felt God's presence really close to you. Remember a time when God answered your prayer. Remember when you knew his strength and faithfulness through a difficult time. Remember when you realized who you are in Christ, a dearly loved child who has inherited eternal life because of what Jesus has done for you. I don't know if any of you have ever done the exercise where you draw a timeline of your life and think about where God was and what he was saying in all the ups and downs, the highs and lows of your experience. I've done this a few times, and every time, though it can be hard sometimes to remember the difficult times in your life, I come away praising God for his faithfulness in the midst of it all. And the moments when he knew what lay ahead, even though I didn't know at the time. Last Sunday, Marcia was sharing from Psalm 42. In that psalm, the psalmist looked back and remembered being able to meet with God's people in Jerusalem. Initially, it made him feel more sad that he was far away from there. But in this psalm, as David looks back, it reminds him of who God is and what God is like. And it brings him to a place of praise and worship. God is not limited to the sanctuary. Here in the middle of the desert and in this desperate situation, God is present. And as David remembers who God is, he can't help but praise. David's life is in danger, as it's been many times throughout his life. But to David, God's love is better than life itself. He will praise and sing and lift up his hands to worship God. As he praises and worships and enjoys God's presence, David moves from a place where his soul is in a dry and weary land to a place of being full and satisfied. He says, "My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." David's moved from a place of drought to a place of feasting. His focus, his perspective has changed. And our third and final point is David's praise of God, who is his help. His prayer and worship led David to a deeper awareness of God, a deeper seeking after God. On his bed, it says, he remembers God and thinks about God. I don't know if you wake up in the night sometimes and what you think about when you do. What we think about then might show something of what our priorities are. So often we start thinking about work, that thing that's bothering us. Did we remember that thing? Or maybe that thing we did really well. Yeah, I did good. Or the latest film we watched is maybe what's going through our mind. Do we take time to think about God and become aware of his presence with us? Do we ask if there are people or situations he wants us to be praying about? My daughter suffers from chronic pain, which kicks off from time to time. Often it keeps her awake in the night. Somehow in the night, everything can seem worse, can't it, than it does during the day. My daughter thought about David seeking the Lord and singing to God in the night, and she began to ask God to give her songs to sing when she was awake. And he did. Some worship songs, which she already knew, and some words for new songs, which she could share with other people. It's still painful, and she'd still rather not wake up in the night with pain, but choosing to think about God and be aware of being in his presence has made a difference. This is a painting that she did. It's a picture of a painting that she did just to remind herself of that. I love verses 7 and 8, two beautiful images of God as our helper and protector. Because you're my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings, that sense of being protected, guarded, looked after by God. Like David's darkness, he realizes, is the shadow of God's wings. And then, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Have you ever felt like you're just clinging onto God? Those moments when there's nothing else to cling onto. Those moments when if you don't cling on, you feel like you're going to fall. David is clinging onto God, seeking him, reaching out to him, thinking of him, remembering him. This clinging does make it sound a bit like it's all up to us. And yet, in the second part of this image, we see that we're clinging, but it's actually his right hand, which means his powerful hand, which is holding us up, strengthening, protecting, keeping us going. In the last few verses, we see how worship and spending time in God's presence has led David to trust God. He still doesn't know what's going to happen, but he trusts that God is a God of justice and that God will deal with his enemies and continue to work out his plans and purposes in David's life. And so, what about us? There's a lot of pressure in our lives. And we will find ourselves in desert places. In those places, how do we respond? Do we take time to even realize we're thirsty? Or do we just keep going, keeping busy? Sometimes having a quiet day or a retreat time can be really, really helpful to just take the time and space to spend with God and just let yourself be in his presence and realize where you need to be filled up again. Are we determined, like David, to earnestly seek after God and only be satisfied with knowing God's presence in our lives? We need to seek him, refusing other things we might try to turn to and to try and satisfy that thirst. Do we remember who God is and worship God, like David, even in the desert places? And as we worship, we remember that God is a faithful God. We can trust him and know that he is the one who will lead us through out the other side. Amen.